Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you're having a good week walking with the Lord. You're on the Voice of Hope. It's a place to bring you a word of hope in very challenging times. Next week, I'm getting ready to travel to Burundi, August 13th to the 24th, to do two leadership conferences, two youth conferences, and to minister in some churches. And I believe God is going to do a great work in Burundi. But since I'm going to be gone in Burundi, I will not have any Voice of Hope broadcast on the 18th or the 25th. So the Voice of Hope will not be back again until September 1st. And so I just want to encourage you to stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, I think things in the world are going to get worse and worse. We're seeing greater problems, greater challenges. I believe there's going to be greater chaos in the world. We're seeing this conflict in Israel, and Israel is kind of a center of God. Israel is God's people. And so when you see Israel in conflict, you mean it's usually an indication of greater conflict that happens in the world. And so, you know, as we look out over our world and see the increased challenges and problems and upcoming chaos that may happen, we need to remember that we need to turn to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the answer in the middle of our problems. So when you see growing challenges in the world, I encourage you to just turn your focus to Jesus Christ. Give your life more completely to Christ, because He will help you. He will deliver you. He will save you, because He is the Savior of the world. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, as you see growing challenges, I encourage you to just turn to Jesus Christ. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, when you accept Him as your Savior, He saves you from your sin. He saves you from sickness. He saves you from the power of the enemy. Jesus is a great Savior. But for Him to save us, we must give our life to Him. You know, if someone is drowning in the water and I throw them something, a line or a rope, they have to grab hold of the rope so I can save them from drowning, save them out of the water. And so Jesus came and He died on the cross and He rose again to conquer death and hell and the grave. He rose again to give us eternal life. He rose again from the grave to give us salvation, healing, and deliverance. But we need to accept His salvation. We need to embrace His salvation. And so I want to just encourage you today, as you see growing challenges in the world, growing crises, just turn to Jesus Christ. Allow Him to save you and allow Him to deliver you from the problems that you're in, because He is a great and mighty God. He is the Savior of the world, and we need to put our confidence in Him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, that He might die for our sins, and so we might believe in Him and have eternal life. So Jesus came to save you today, if you're listening to the Voice of Hope. And so I want to talk about the promise we have in Jesus Christ. And I've been talking a lot about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Jesus Christ, over the past several weeks. And today I want to talk about the kingdom promise. And God has great promises for us if we are faithful to Him and give our lives to Him. And so I want to begin today by looking in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Says there, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. So John warns us here not to love the world or love the things of the world. If we love the world and always desire the things of the world, he says, we don't love the Father. The love of the Father is not in us. And he says, don't love the world, because the world is passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so we need to, in these trying times, we need to focus our love totally upon God. We need to focus our love totally upon Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And I want to encourage you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is salvation. So don't go running after the world, because the world is going away. So the world is passing away and the lust thereof. That is the lust, desire for things. All that's passing away. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. In John chapter 16, verse 33, John 16, 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." So Jesus is speaking to us. He's giving us a promise here. He says, I've spoken, I've given you these teachings of mine. I've taught you these things, and I've been an example to you. You know, Jesus came on into the world, and he was born in the world, and he lived in the world a victorious life to show us how we can live a victorious life. And he's taught us many things so we can have a victorious life. So if you want to have a victorious life, get into the Word of God. Find out how to live life. Jesus came to be an example for us. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. See the life of Jesus. See how Jesus wants to walk in our lives and change our lives. He says, "These things I've spoken to you, that you may have peace in the world." In the world, you will have tribulations. We're going to have problems in the world. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So we're going to face challenges. As things grow worse in the world, we are going to face challenges, but we have confidence in Jesus Christ, and we do what he tells us to do, we will overcome the world. In Luke 17, 20 through 21, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God does not come by observation, nor will they say, 'See, it is here,' or 'For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.'" So the kingdom of God is not what's in the world. The kingdom of God is not what we see in the world. Because the things of the world are passing away. The things of the world are shaking. There are problems growing in our world. But the kingdom of God is in us. In Romans 14, 17, Paul said, "The kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." So the kingdom of God is not in the world. You can't see the world. The kingdom of God is within you. Because Jesus, the King, lives in you by the Holy Spirit. So you walk in his love. You walk in his peace. You walk in his authority. That we need to seek the kingdom of God first. So God wants to show forth his glory and his power through his church. And as things get darker and darker, we as believers, we need to show the light of Jesus Christ. We can't walk half in the world and half in the kingdom of God. No, we have to give ourselves fully to the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It's not what you possess. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness is having a right relationship with God, because your relationship with God is what births everything. Everything comes out of our relationship with God. Jesus said, "We are in the world, but we are not of the world." That we live in the world, but our identity is not in the world. Our desires are not in the world. Our solutions is not in the world. We are of God, little children, and have overcome the world, because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Because the kingdom of God is in you. If you're born again and have the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is in you. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, right relationship with God. Walking right, talking right, doing things God's way. When we do things God's way, we'll have God's blessing and God's success. You know, God wants to release his power through his kingdom. The kingdom of God is in the hearts of millions of people all over the world. It is the greatest kingdom in the world. It is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our King. We are not ruled by the world. We are ruled by Jesus Christ. Jesus, we've given our lives to him. He is the Lord of our life. He is the Bwana. He is the one we obey. And he is the one we've given our life to. And we do that, we walk in his joy and his peace, even when there's trials and tribulation. We walk in victory because we walk in Jesus Christ. See, when you watch the life of Jesus Christ, everywhere Jesus walked, he walked in victory. Everywhere he went, he showed forth his power and he showed forth his glory. And Jesus has given us the same promise when we're in him. When you look at John chapter 14, John chapter 14, in the last part of John here, Jesus is getting ready for his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. And so in John chapter 14, he's talking to his disciples about how he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father but by him. And Jesus gives this wonderful promise for us, this kingdom promise that I want to really look at today, because the promise for us in our lives today. And that promise is John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus is getting ready to go to die on the cross and go to heaven. And before he goes to heaven, he wants to make this promise to his disciples. See, but this promise is for people who are born again. This promise is for people who are part of the kingdom of God. We don't walk according to the world. We don't lust after the things of the world, because the things of the world are passing away. But the kingdom of God will abide forever. And he who does the will of God will abide forever. He who does the will of God will walk in victory. We overcome because Jesus overcame. We will overcome too. So Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to give you a promise. And this promise he gives in this verse. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater works will he do, because I go to my Father. He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to help you accomplish these things. If you go down to John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. So Jesus says here, I'm giving you this promise that the works you do, the works I did, you will do even greater works also, because I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come and live in you. But it says to come into this authority and the earth, we need to love Jesus and keep his word, keep his commandments. He says, if you love me, and keep my commandments, and then I will pray the Father, and he will give you the Helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth that wants to come and live in you. But you see, you can't pursue the things of the world. Remember, the things of the world are passing away. 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Jesus said, if you do my will, if you love me and keep my commandments, do my will, then I'm going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to empower you to do what I did. See, when Jesus walked on the world, in the world, Jesus did not have a big house. He didn't have a lot of things. Jesus did not have a lot of money. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a great position. Because all those things are of the world. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, all those things are going away. The things of the world are passing away. See, Jesus wants to give us something greater than what's in the world. He wants us to walk in kingdom life. If you're born again, the kingdom of God dwells in you. Jesus dwells in you. The power of the Holy Spirit dwells in you to help you walk an overcoming life, to help you walk in victory. God wants to have you to have victory today. God wants you to have victory and to show forth His glory and His power today. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, we don't keep the Jesus' commandments and what Jesus tells us to do. See, what does Jesus tell us to do? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about Jesus Christ. Read his life. Read about how he did things. Find out what he told us to do. And when you do what Jesus asked you to do, then he is going to show forth his power in you. So if you love me, keep my commandments. And we don't keep God's commandments or Jesus' word just so to prove that, to make him do something. No, we do his will because we love him. See, if you love someone, you want to do what they ask you to do because you love them. You don't do it because you have to. See, Christianity is not a religion that has a bunch of rules that you have to obey to please God. No, that's not Christianity. That's religion. No, Christianity is because you love Jesus, because you're a child of God, you look up to Jesus, and your focus is on Jesus. You love Jesus. You've given your life to him. Paul called himself, I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. A bond slave was someone who gave themselves to be a slave for life. They would be, and we, when we give our lives to Jesus, we fall in love with Jesus. Jesus becomes the center of our life. Every day we get up and our greatest desire is to follow Jesus. Every day our greatest desire is to exalt the name of Jesus, the name of every name. We live to please Jesus. See, when you love Jesus, you live to please Jesus because you love him. Someone loves you. If you love someone, you just want to please them because you love them, not because you want to get something from them. No, that's lust. If you want to love someone because you want something from them, that's lust, that's greed. You're loving them for a purpose of getting something from them. No, we don't love God and love Jesus to get something from them. We love Jesus because he died for our sins. We love Jesus because he has set us free from the power of Satan. We love Jesus because we are his children. And so we love to do what he asks to do. So if we love him, we will do what he asks to do, and he will send the helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us do those things. See, we don't do the things Jesus did by our own power. We don't do those things that Jesus did because of our ability. We do those things that Jesus did because we love him. And the helper helps us do this. Jesus said, the works I do, you will do also, and even greater works we do, because I go to my Father, and I'm going to send the helper to help you do what you cannot do yourself, to help you do the same works. And we saw Jesus when he walked on the earth. He didn't have a lot of clothes. He didn't have a lot of shoes. He didn't have a big house. He had nothing. But thousands followed him. Why? Because he walked in the power of God. And he walked in the power of God because he walked in the fellowship of God. He walked to do the will of God. His desire was to glorify the Father. John chapter 14, verse 10 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or believe me for the sake of the works themselves. He says, the reason I speak with authority and I do the works that I do is because I speak the will of my Father. I do what the Father asked me to do. The Father dwells in me and does the works. Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me because of the works I do. See, Jesus calls us into this relationship with him. If you do what I want, then you will please the Father, and the Father will show forth his glory and his power through you. So Jesus says there, if you love me, keep my commandments, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide in you forever. So Jesus gave this promise that we have. You will do the same works that he did, and even greater works will he do, because he goes into going to the Father and he's sending the helper, the Holy Spirit, to do these works. And he goes, and whatever, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now you say, that's a powerful promise. I ask for a lot of things and they don't happen. Why? Because you ask for yourself. James says, we pray and ask for things for ourselves. So we pray trying to satisfy our own lust. But you see, we're not after things. We're not after the world. Jesus, the things of the world meant nothing to Jesus because he understood who he was. He understood that he was the Son of God. He understood that God the Father was his Father. He understood that he had an eternal inheritance in heaven. He understood that when he would rise from the dead, he would sit at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven in all authority and power. He understood those things. And so the things of the world meant nothing to him. When you get a revelation of God and his greatness, the things of the world become less and less important to you because you understand your relationship with the Father God. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why do we ask for things? That God may be glorified. We ask and pray for God to do things so that he may be glorified, not to solve our needs or to solve our problems or to solve other people's problems. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And when we walk in the authority and power of Jesus Christ, we demonstrate his and we bring glory to the Father. Jesus said, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Peter and the disciples is promised, but God gave us the disciples, gave us his disciples, his kingdom people, the same promise, if we don't follow the things of the world, but we pursue Jesus Christ and his kingdom. See, the kingdom of God is in you because Jesus the King lives in you, the Holy Spirit lives in you, to walk in kingdom authority and kingdom power. And we see this demonstrated in Acts chapter 3. So in Acts chapter 2, they've received, the disciples have received the Holy Spirit in their lives. The Helper has come. The Helper has filled their life. They are now part of the greatest kingdom because of the salvation through Jesus Christ and the Helper that's living in them. And Peter, who had denied Jesus three times at the crucifixion, said he never knew Jesus. Now he stands up and the authority of the Holy Spirit that dwells in him, the kingdom that dwells in him, he speaks and 3,000 people get saved and get baptized in water and are added to the church. And the church grows and people added to the church daily. People are eating together, sharing together, working together. And you see a whole thing happening with the church because the kingdom of God has invaded the world. And Jerusalem is shaking because of what Jesus Christ is doing. Then in Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter is learning how to walk in the Spirit. He's learning how to operate in the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 3, it says now, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple, the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from the mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So Peter and John, it says, they daily went to the temple the hour of prayer. They didn't just go to the temple on Sunday. They daily went for the hour of prayer. And to go to the temple, they had to pass through this gate, which is called the Gate Beautiful. They carried the lame man and they laid him daily at the gate. So we see two things happening daily. Daily, Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, and daily they were bringing this lame man who was born lame, had never walked in his life, and they carried him and put him at the gate to ask for alms, to ask for money for people. So this is every day. So every day Peter and John have been going to the temple to pray. Every day this lame man's been asking them for money. But something has changed. Something has changed. Peter has received the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that we saw in John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "The works I do, you will do also, and even greater works that you do." So Peter has the Helper living in him because he's dedicated his life. He's given up everything he has to enter the kingdom of God. He's given everything he has to follow Jesus Christ. And so on a daily basis, he's going to the temple prayer, and daily they're putting the man there who is lame. And then verse 3, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms or money. And Peter fixing his eyes on him, Peter and John said to him, look to us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took the man by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he was leaped up and leaping, stood up and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was the man the beggar who had lay at the gate beautiful, begging for alms. And everyone was filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Something had changed. The promise of John 14, the helper had come. The promise of John 14 had happened in their lives. The promise had come fulfilled because they were part of the greatest kingdom. I want you to understand, you're part of the greatest kingdom. And when you give your life fully to the kingdom, you walk in kingdom authority. You walk in kingdom love and kingdom power. And Peter and John are going day, and they've passed this man every day, but today things are different. Today they have received the promise of John 14, and the promise of the Holy Spirit has come upon them. And when they see the lame man, in faith, Peter reaches out to the lame man, takes his hand, and says, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. And have you ever seen a lame man who's never walked before? His legs are little skinny things. He has no muscles or anything. But the power of God flows through Peter and John into the man. And he leaps up and begins to leap and jump and praise God. And everyone comes running around. And Peter preaches, and 5,000 men get saved, not counting women and children. See, in the time of great testing, see, the great promise is what God has given us in John chapter 14. The promise of the Helper, the promise of the Holy Spirit to bring glory to the Father. It says, you can ask anything in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The works I do, you'll do also. See, we're coming into challenging times. We're coming into times of great problems. Maybe great crises are going to happen. But God is raising up a kingdom that has no end, a kingdom that is in the hearts of people, millions of Christians all over the world. And God wants to turn away from the things of the world, focus on him. Lord God, I pray for every person today, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, I pray that you'll reach down, touch lives, Lord God. Help us understand that the world has nothing for us, that everything is in Jesus Christ, that our life is in you, Lord God. I pray that you'll encourage every person. Those who have not saved will give their lives to you. Those who are Christians will quit following and running after the world and begin to run after you, because you are the source of life. You are the Savior. You are the healer. You are the deliverer, the coming King. And you've given us a great and precious promise that we can do the works, same works that you did, and even greater works, that we may glorify the Father in heaven. Lord, I pray your anointing upon your people that listen to the voice of hope. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We celebrate you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to remind you, I will not be on the Voice of Hope radio program. Will not be on the 18th and the 25th, but I'll be back again on September 1st. And if you ever want to listen to my program, you can always go to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, and I post all my programs and other teachings on voiceofhopetoday.org. May you be blessed. May God keep you by his power and empower you by his Spirit in Jesus' name. God bless. Look forward to seeing you September 1st. In Jesus' name, amen.